Please turn in God's Word with me to Genesis chapter 37. I want to read verses 1 down to the first 5, and we want to comment really today on verse 4, but read the first 5 verses. Genesis chapter 37, and God's Word says, Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. With God's word open, we'll just seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and eternal God, we rejoice we come to thee on redemption ground. We thank thee for one who is our refuge, one who stood in our place. And therefore, Lord, we thank thee for one who loved us, one who gave himself for us, one who did all for our salvation. And therefore, Lord, we pray now, as we come, O God, around thy word, be our help, be our portion. We pray, O God, even as Samuel prayed, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We ask of thee, O God, that thy spirit will come, fall afresh upon us, and apply the word of God even to our very heart. For, Lord, we need thee. Without thee, O God, we can do nothing. Therefore, this is thy word. Come, revive us again. Give us that quickening power, we pray, and we shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the words just read in this passage, it is clear that Joseph was not only loved by his father supremely, but also he received the blessings lost by Reuben, the firstborn son. This was demonstrated all by the coat of many colors. We took time last week to go through that. But this coat of many colors, it symbolized honor, power, position, praise, and preeminence. One chosen, one full of wisdom, one set apart to rule and to be a channel of blessing. And because of all these blessings that were lost by Reuben and now received, bestowed upon Joseph, we read in verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. The word hated is also used in verse 4, verse 5, and verse 8. And the word hated, it means hostile. It means to oppose, to be in opposition. It means to act as an enemy in war. And so these brethren, they opposed Joseph. They now viewed and treated Joseph as an enemy. From this time forward, they would work and they would plan against Joseph. And that's what we will find in the next number of weeks as we go through this passage, how they plotted, how they turned against Joseph. His own family turned against him. His own brethren opposed him, hated him because of his favored position, because of his position, his preeminence, his praise, because he was one chosen out from among them. And once again, we are brought to see in the life of Joseph another elevated view of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also was hated. No man ever has been or ever will be hated more than the Lord Jesus Christ. he said of his own enemies in John 15, verse 25, they hate me, or they hated me without a cause. The phrase in John 15, verse 25, without a cause, it means freely. It means without a reason. In other words, they hate me freely. They hate me without a reason. They hate me because they hate me. They oppose me because they oppose me. Paul stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, that this hatred is because of man's natural affection towards God as being haters of God. Men, due to their own depraved sin, they oppose God. They hate God freely. They hate the Savior in all his glory, who he is, even with all the good things that the Lord does for sinners, for all mankind, how it rains on the just and the unjust. But in thinking about the unjust, how he feeds them, how he provides for them, and yet they despise him, they reject him. Furthermore, the Lord said to his own people, by a way of warning and awareness and comfort, in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Also in verse 20, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And so Christ states this, just as he is hated freely, without a cause, so all who are in union with him, all who are in that covenant oneness to him, will also be hated freely. Again, Psalm 69, verse 4, the psalmist said, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Psalm 109, verse 3, they compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Paul said to the church at Philippi, and we will get to this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. And therefore, believer, just as Joseph was hated, opposed by his brethren, he always acted in a righteous manner toward him. We will find in this story, though his brethren despised him, plotted against him for his murder, did all evil against him, yet in love, yet in mercy, Joseph was there for them whenever he needed them the most. We learn at the end of the whole story that Joseph forgave them. Joseph comforted them. What a picture that is of Christ. What a lesson that is for us to live and pray for those who despise us, for those who reject us. Because the same language that was used of Christ, that his enemies hated him without a cause, so he turns into the same phrase with love and mercy in the gospel. And he loves sinners without a cause. And isn't that amazing? The one who is hated without a cause, in mercy and in grace, loves sinners without a cause, loves sinners freely. Again, we learn in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul, in talking to believers at Rome, says to them that they, being justified freely, pardoned freely, forgiven freely. And the word there, freely, is the exact same word used in John chapter 15, verse 25, when Christ said about his enemies that they hated him freely. They hate him without a cause. They hate him because they hate him. And so the point is, in the gospel, when God justifies or pardons sinners by his grace, by the blood of Christ, he does so freely. He does so without a reason or without a cause in them. The reason why? Because there is no reason and there is no cause in any sinner why God should justify. There's no reason in me and there's no reason in you why God should love us, should choose us, should save us. We are unlovable, unholy, vile, full of sin, guilty. Yet there's every reason to leave us to face damnation. And therefore, he sets his love upon us freely. He loves us because he loves us. He's chosen to save us because it pleased him to choose to save sinners. All God has done, it's not because of me. It's because of him. He has not saved me for my sake. He has saved me for his sake. He's not saved me for my glory. He saved me for his glory. And therefore, we need to get the balance right. He loved me. That's why he loved you, set his love upon you, because he did. Because he pleased him to love you, to choose you, to redeem you. And therefore, what a blessing that is. You who are here today, pardoned. You've been justified freely. Oh, there's no reason why he should have done it, but for his own grace and glory. And therefore, what an encouragement that is. It is only the grace and mercy of God that brings his haters, his opposers, into his friends and his family. He will never refuse any who call unto him in faith. He will never refuse any who seek his forgiveness. Even those who are backslidden, you can return to him just now. Maybe there's a backslider here. You're a Christian, but you've stopped reading the word of God. You've stopped praying. You are what is termed as a backslidden state. There's a coldness in your life. You've spent time in the spiritual freezer all week. Well, there's good news, because Hosea chapter 14, verse 4, when the Lord says to backsliders, I will heal their backsliding. And notice what he said, I will love them freely. There's the word. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Why does God love the backslider? Why does he call them to come? Because they're still his people, and blood was shed for them. And therefore, all who come to him, all who seek him, he will not refuse any. And again, we see that in the life of Joseph, because in the next number of weeks, when we will see how his brethren planned against him, yet at the end of the story, he forgave them. And so we learn today, Joseph hated by his brethren. Notice, first of all, the source of their hatred. Really, verse 11, and no doubt we'll keep coming back to these words in the next number of weeks anyway, but verse number 11, his brethren envied him. And so when taking all the statements regarding the hatred of Joseph's brethren, their opposition against him, they were against his very person, who he was. Everything about Joseph, they opposed, they hated, they envied. Verse 5 again, they hated his words, and we will get to that next week. Those dreams, the proclamation. And so they hate Joseph's person, his character. He was not involved in any sinful activity. All the things, Joseph, they hated his person, his character, his lifestyle, who he was, his favorite position. They opposed it. They despised it. And so verse 11 confirms the source of their hatred. His brethren envied him. What does the word envy mean? Verse 11, it means jealous or to be jealous. And so they became jealous, envious of Joseph. And for that reason, they hated him and they sold him. In fact, remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Remember Stephen is before those who are going to stone him. And he gives the historical record of Israel. And we learn in Acts 7 verse 9, and the patriarchs moved with envy and sold Joseph into Egypt. So there's Stephen. As he is there, he relates the whole history. And he brings up this point because he's about to be stoned, because he's hated, he's despised. And now he's speaking about when Joseph, when the patriarchs, his brethren were moved with envy, moved with jealousy. They sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And that's another phrase we'll come back to. And so envy, jealousy, it is a negative feeling against another person. According to the Apostle Paul and his list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through to 21, envy is a work of the flesh. It is in the list that belongs to that which is not pleasing to the Lord. Again, Paul lists the works of the flesh. And if you read those works of the flesh, they can be divided into four different sections. But the third section is the section that deals with the sin of jealousy, also called emulations. And it is there that the sin of envy is found. So this list, this third list, when Paul speaks in Galatians chapter 5 of the works of the flesh, where jealousy is found, where envy is found, that third list can be entitled the desire for self-honor, power, position, praise, preeminence. Isn't that amazing? That's all the things that Joseph was blessed with, but all the things that his brethren wanted. And so jealousy and envy, they find their root in pride. And the fruit deals with the desire to have praise, position, power, preeminence over another. And so, by the words, his brethren envied him. They were jealous towards him. In other words, they desired Joseph's placement. They desired the favor he had. They desired his position, his power, his praise, his preeminence. And they despised him for having it. They despised him for his dreams. They despised him for the coat. Remember, God didn't speak or communicate those dreams through his brethren. Joseph was chosen. Joseph was given the coat. And so all these things, they saw Joseph having it, blessed by it. And their opinion is, we ought to have this. How does he get it? And so they hated him. They opposed him. They set themselves against him. Because envy is the feeling of displeasure and annoyance of seeing and hearing the achievements and blessings of others. It is to covet, which is one of the sins, isn't it? To break the law, thou shalt not covet. It is to want what another person has, but at the same time, resenting them from having it. For instance, believers may come in and rejoice that they are growing in grace. Maybe they've had a word from God, or you hear about some church has had a bit of growth, or souls of being saved. And instead of rejoicing, praise God that souls are being saved. Praise God that you've had a word from God. Praise the Lord, you've been encouraged. We start to get a bit suspicious. Huh, souls being saved in that church. Huh, what are they doing? Huh, must be up to something. Oh, and we start to get at them. You've been blessed this week. Well, I've had a miserable week. And because I've had a miserable week, so should you. And that's how we get on. Instead of just rejoicing, praise God you've been blessed. Praise God you've been sat in his presence and enjoyed his company. But because I'm not, and isn't that the case, when I'm not in the attitude of prayer, then I start to get at everybody else. When I'm not reading the scriptures, then I start to get at everybody else. Or when I hear people being blessed by prayer, or I hear people being blessed by the word, well, because I'm not being blessed, then no one else is going to be recognized for it. And we start to envy, we start to jealous, we start to get at people. Envy. Envy another church. Envy another person's family, another person's salary, another person's blessings, another person's prayers, their gifts, their talents, all these different things, their abilities. We can go on. And we can't see how others should have it. But all we can see is why they shouldn't have it and why I should have it. And that's the whole point of envy, jealousy. And it eats at you. And that is the reason why many Christians do not get along in church. Many reasons why ministers sometimes don't get along. Because when ministers get along, I've heard before, people talk about, well, I've had this blessing. And then you start getting along these different things because someone's not being blessed. So even among even ministers, these things can happen. It's so easy. Envy just gets in there. When David, remember, by the power of God, he slew Goliath. And you know the whole story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, that great victory. In 1 Kings 18, you think Saul would have said, you know, David, I'm so glad you came, because that giant, we were skirt stiff of him, and he had us there. And if you hadn't come when you did, whew, I tell you, we would have been stuck there. But I'm glad, David, you came and gave help. David, we're just so glad. No, none of it all. What happened? After David beat Goliath, we learn by the help of God, people started then to praise David. And Saul was upset. Why? It wasn't because they praised David, but because they praised David more than Saul. And so we read in 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, they began to say, Saul has slain his thousands. And you can imagine Saul at that stage walking down here and everybody saying that. Saul has slain his thousands. And Saul, that's right, you know, I have. And then straight after, what happens? And David, his 10,000s. What? And he was upset. Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. He's angry. He is upset. Oh, he didn't mind being praised. But because David got more praise, he wasn't happy about it. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Is that what he's going to come next? And we read then after, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. He eyed him. He kept at him. He would not let him out of his sight. He was envious toward him. Why? Because Saul thirsted for power, position, praise, preeminence, honor, my kingdom, my victory, my praise. But because someone else got it, or got it more, he just could not handle it. And if you read the rest of Saul's life, it was just downhill from there. And envy ruined Saul. Envy is also the reason why sinners refuse the gospel message. Because when it comes to life, when it comes to matters of death, Sinners want to have their own authority. They want to have their own praise, their own preeminence. I'll get to heaven my way. I live my way. I'll determine things my way. I don't need your God to tell me anything. And so pride, envy is the reason why sinners refuse the gospel. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14, verse 30, envy is the rottenness of the bones. It saturates the mind. It saddens the mood. It brings sickness to the body. Envy depresses. It flows from pride. It is a heart issue. Again, Solomon said, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Savior said in Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through to 23, but for time I'll just say, he said, that which cometh out of a man, and having listed pride and all the rest, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And that's what the Savior said. So pride, hatred, envy. Later we will learn in the next number of weeks in verse 18 of this Genesis chapter 37, they conspired against him, that's against Joseph, to slay him, that is to kill him. That's where their envy took them to. They were so hatred of him, so opposed to him, that they plotted his death. And so the source of their hatred was found in envy, a heart full of pride, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And therefore it was all against Joseph, plotting his death. Now we know at the end that they did not go through with their death, their plan, because God had intervened, but we see their envy. And so envy is seen in its highest form against the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, everything can relate back to the Lord. Remember Matthew 27, verse 1. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Verse 12. He was accused of the chief priests and elders. And as they come before Pilate, Pilate said these words, having listened to all these things, Matthew 27, verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him, because he was the one who was blessed. He was the one claiming himself to be Messiah. And therefore, we see envy in its highest supreme view. But I say to the Christian, whenever a Christian is envy, it exposes that they are not filled with the Spirit. They're not walking by the Spirit. Oh, envy, when Christians envy one another, it scars and mars their testimony. It shows that they are in a backslidden state. They're walking according to the flesh. They're living with sin unconfessed. Because an envious Christian is no help in the work of God. An envious Christian is no help in the place of prayer, because it displays a complaining attitude all the time. It brings an uneasy atmosphere that does not please God. And when a Christian is envy, what they're actually doing is accusing God, attacking God, that he has outdone them, that he has not blessed them, that everything else everybody else has, they should have. Instead of thanking God for what he has given you, the blessings that he has blessed you with, and the benefits that he has given. And therefore, envy is only discovered when we come to the Word of God and we see ourselves as envious. And it must be put out. It must be prayed out. It must be forsaken and cleansed by the blood of Christ. And so that's what happened when it came to Joseph's brethren. They carried this envy for all these years. And only at the very end of the story, when they came before Joseph, did they admit their envy. And he forgave them. And therefore there is forgiveness with the Lord. You can have that envious spirit forgiven, that hostile attitude forgiven today. Notice, secondly, the signs of their hatred. There are many signs, but here in verse 4 it says, they could not speak peaceably unto him. So notice they hate him, they're envious toward him. Now they cannot speak peaceably to him. The phrase, not speak peaceably, means that they could not speak comforting words to Joseph. They had nothing good to say to him. I have a phrase, or we have a phrase in our home. If you have nothing good to say, don't say it at all. That is a phrase. You want to encourage people, you want to lift up people. And so if you have not got something good to say about someone in that sense of the word, instead of ripping apart, don't say anything at all. Best to remain silent. And so these brethren, they could not say anything good about Joseph. Anything they would have said, it was against his downfall, against his demise, against for his death. They could not speak shalom. They could not speak in terms of peace. Rather, their words about Joseph, to Joseph, concerning Joseph, was about war. Were unkind. Again, verse 19, they mock him. This dreamer cometh. That's how they thought about Joseph. He's the dreamer. So Joseph suffered by their words, by their deeds of his brethren. No doubt he was a man of sorrows. And so all these signs are against Joseph. They could not speak peaceably to him. There was no comfort in their words. But anything they spoke against Joseph were words of envy, words of grievance, words of we'll get him, plotting against him all the time. And therefore, believer, again, we consider our Savior and we think of the hatred against him because he was a man of sorrows. He was despised and rejected of men. Though his earthly life and even at his death, or through his earthly life and even at his death, his own brethren could not speak peaceably unto him. Remember the unbelieving Jews. They said in John chapter 10, verse 20, they said of Christ, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear him? Matthew 11, verse 1, they called him a wine bibber. In preparations for the cross, we learn the soldiers in Matthew 27, verse 29 to 31, they mocked him, they spit upon him, they smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they led him away to crucify him. And so that was the hatred against the Savior. Yet, it's interesting to note, at the end of the life of Joseph, and again we're just flicking forward here and all the rest, but whenever they bowed before him, they came in fear. They came in worry because they knew their hatred of speech. Throughout their life, they could not speak peace towards Joseph. And they were coming before Joseph. And what did they say? In Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, Joseph will hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil that we did unto him. Brethren, do you realize we're going to go before Joseph and he will hate us, he will oppose us, he will work against us? Why? Because of all our envy towards him. This is not a good thing. He's going to get us. And therefore, when Joseph came before them and they were in fear, we learn verse 21, now therefore, Joseph says to his brother, now therefore, and you can imagine what they're expecting next. Something like, now therefore, you're going to get what you deserve. Now therefore, payday. Joseph says, now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And be comforted, and he comforted them. Now notice, and spake kindly onto them. If you have a margin in your Bible, the Hebrew referencing that phrase, speak kindly, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 21, means spoke to their hearts. It was a word to their heart. In other words, it was what they needed to hear. They're in fear. They're panicking. Joseph is going to get us for what we did to him. And yet when he spoke to them words of peace. I will nourish you. You can imagine they would have thought in this time of famine to hear words, I'm going to let you starve and I'm going to watch you. But no, he spoke terms of peace. Why? Because Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, a word spoken in season, how good it is. And that's what you want week after week. You come to God's house. Pray, Lord, as the preacher brings the word, may it be a word in season. Because how good is it? And that's what you want to be leaving God's house. Not how great the preacher is and all the nonsense of the day. You want to be leaving saying, it was a word in season. Because a word spoken in season, how good is it? What it means is a word spoken at the right time, the exact time, the time I needed. It came to the heart. It touched us. His brethren, they could not speak peaceably unto him. There was no words of kindness they had for him. But when Joseph spoke to them, I will nourish you. And his word was a word right to the very heart. And believer, what a blessing that is, because when we were lost in sin, we could not speak peaceably to the Savior. We opposed him. We had nothing kind to say about him. Maybe you used the Lord's name as a swear name. Maybe you even said other things. You could not speak peaceably about the Lord. But in mercy, he sought your soul. And he had a word for you right to your heart. Come on to me. Come on to me. And he would save. We learn, believer, our sinner, he still speaks to you today in words of comfort. What does he say in Isaiah 1 verse 18? Come, now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Believer, when he saved your soul, when he redeemed your soul, he continually speaks words of kindness to you. Because whenever you doubt his words, whenever you've let him down, you think, oh no, is he going to cast me away? He encourages you that he will never cast his people away, because he says in Isaiah 43, verse 1, fear not. It's not the words Joseph's brethren got. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. What a blessing that is. What a word to the heart. What a word spoken in season. I've redeemed thee. I've purchased thee. I've ransomed thee. I paid the price for thee. Therefore, you are mine. I've called you by name. And so what a blessing that is. So we've learned of the source of their hatred, the signs of their hatred. Notice finally, very briefly, I think so anyway, the strength of their hatred. Again, the strength of their hatred. Because envy can only grow. We learn verse 5. What we said, verse 4, they hated him. Verse 5, after he speaks these dreams and different things, they hated him yet the more. Verse 8, they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. Again, verse 18, they conspired against him to slay him. And so notice the strength of their hatred. It's now growing. I hate him. I hate him the more. It's intensifying. The more they see Joseph, the more they hear of Joseph, everything comes back to them. And therefore, we say this here, nursing envy will not make it better. but it grows until a target is found to release all hatred and envy upon it. Now, while we know that they didn't go through with their murderous plan, but murder was still in their heart, they betrayed their brother, that they sold him into slavery. So throughout time, whether it was Abel, Isaac, Moses, David, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, the apostles, ourselves, Joseph, the point is, we learn from Joseph's life, whenever one who is identified with Christ, they will always be persecuted. They will always be opposed. Again, when the people demanded in Matthew 27, verse 22, that Christ be crucified, Pilate asked in Matthew 27, verse 23, why? What evil hath he done? Yet they cried out the more. And there's the strength of it. There's the intent. Not just crucify him, but they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And therefore, until the day Christ returns, the opposition will not weaken. That will be stronger. There will be a strength to the opposition against God's people. They don't want, just as Joseph's brethren didn't want Joseph around, they didn't want the message that he proclaimed around about these dreams. And we look at those dreams, how it said that one day they would bow before Joseph and he would rule over them. So there is this word that sinners don't want God to rule over them. And so they want Christ, the message, out of the streets, out of the schools, out of society, out of communities. And therefore, in such times, men and women, keep looking on to the Lord. Because notice that what Stephen said when we read from Acts, though they sold Joseph into Egypt, the strength of their hatred, yet God was with him. And therefore, men and women, through all the persecution, the Lord is with his people. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And all he is doing and all that he allows and permits into our life is for our good and his glory. Again, at the end of it all, in closing, Joseph, speaking to his brethren, said this, as for you, you thought evil against me. And there, you thought the word evil there means wickedness. You thought wickedness against me. All your envy, your opposition. But really all behind it all. But God meant it on to good. The Lord allowed all this to happen. Why? To bring it to pass as it is this day, as you stand before me right now. Here's the reason. To save much people alive. Because there was a famine. A spread around the whole place. And Joseph's brethren would have perished in that famine. But God kept them all safe. God spared them all. The nation, why? Because one of the brethren, Judah, that was the line Christ came through. And therefore, see it all, how it ties into redemption, how it all ties into the coming of Jesus Christ. So wonderful pictures here through Christ. And so we pray above all, you will know when the strength of the opposition comes. Maybe young people there laughed at school. Maybe you in your house, your work, as you try to live a godly Christian life, you're mocked, you're laughed at. We'll look at the next number of weeks how things get added on. But note it all. The Lord is over it all, and he is with you, and he will work out his purpose. It may be, and I say this, maybe in a situation like Joseph, where it will not be until years later when you will find out all that God was doing in those years to bring about some soul. Maybe 10 years' time, 20 years' time, you'll be walking down the street and someone will come and say to you, as they've said to people in days gone by, you know what, years ago, when you told me the gospel, I hated you and I did all this against you and I troubled you and all the rest. And of course, you know it all. And then they'll say after, but you know what? Last year, I got saved and I am a Christian. And I tell you what, those are the type of things that God does through his life. He uses you for his own honor and his own glory. I trust today the Lord will write his word upon our heart. And again, next week, as we come to look at the more in the life of Joseph, that we will be thrilled to look to Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us now, for his name's sake. Amen.